WMR Beckley.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On. It's Monday, finally. Thank God it's Monday. And I get to be back with you guys. I'm recharged over the weekend. The sun was out. I don't know, circadian rhythms, photovoltaic brain gene, whatever thingy. I feel better than I did Friday night. So hopefully that will be reflected in the show. The legislative session obviously is over. We can all take a breath. In the meantime, we can wonder what the hell we're paying for. $15,000-$20,000 a year we pay these guys? And they couldn't pass a nice toothy, when I say toothy, I mean, had some real force behind it. Prescription drug bill, table gaming died. I guess some people are happy about that. I was sort of take it or leave it. But we did manage to put the wood to the consumers of West Virginia on a number of occasions.
Yay, we screwed the consumers,
The breastfeeding bill died, so now fat, sleazy rent-a-cops all over West Virginia can come up to women who are trying to feed their children in the way that nature intended. So,
lady, you need to take that baby to the bathroom if you're going to do that.
You gotta love these guys. But that was out and about a little bit over the weekend, and paying attention to gas prices and things like that. And thanks to the good offices of the folks at Democratic Underground, I wanted to share with you some quotes, and I think you might enjoy them. You're well familiar with the idea of blame Clinton first. It's the whole modus operandi of the Republican Party. Now, back in the year 2000, do you remember the year 2000? Back when we had a real president and they were really paying attention and, those 8 years of peace and prosperity. Remember that? Well, back in 2000, gas prices were going up. And there was real concern, heart-wrenching, gut-rending concern on the part of the Republicans. Representative Terry Everett, the Clinton administration has failed in its duty to develop a policy to deal with our national energy supply and is therefore directly accountable for the higher prices Americans are now paying at the gas pumps. Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert. Remember, this is 2000. Time machine time. Dennis Hastert. House Speaker Dennis Hastert accused the Clinton administration Friday of misleading members of Congress about the causes of skyrocketing gas prices in the Midwest. Congressman Wally Herger. Congressman Wally Herger recently denounced the Clinton-Gore administration's... He's got, a guy with a name like Wally, he's got to talk with us. Recently denounced the Clinton-Gore administration's complacency during the current gas price crisis. Northern Californians are being held hostage at the gas pump, Herger said. The Clinton-Gore administration has demonstrated a complete and total lack of leadership in preventing this problem. It is a clear failure of domestic and foreign policy. And this was about the time when the idiot in chief was running around saying, "Well, I'll deal with the gas prices by jawboning them Saudis, and I'll make them give us cheaper gas." Remember? Sure you do. And then there was There was Republican Larry Kudlow. The Clinton-Gore administration's hapless and incoherent management of foreign policy is nowhere as evident as in their bungling on OPEC's oil price hike. While crude oil prices could drop to $25 per barrel, they will stay well above the average $20 real price of oil registered over the past 10 years, and way above the $10 worldwide average marginal cost of producing new oil. Meanwhile, gas prices at the pump are likely to be upwards of $2 per gallon well into the summer. My God, that's like looking at an 1890 Sears and Roebuck catalog, isn't it? Glenn Spencer. In recent weeks, gas prices have surged to their highest level in a decade. Prices for home heating oil and natural gas are expected to rise by about 30% this winter, with the Clinton-Gore administration's policies largely to blame for the pain being felt by consumers. Vice President Gore's camp has pulled out all the stops to shift blame away from his own administration. Then there's this. Representatives Jim Sensenbrenner, Tom Petrie, Paul Ryan, and Mark Green today blasted Energy Secretary Bill Richardson and the Clinton-Gore administration for their failure to implement a comprehensive energy policy to deal with staggering gas prices Wisconsin consumers continue to face at the pumps. My favorite's the Larry Kudlow quote. While crude oil prices could drop to $25 a barrel, they will stay well above the average $20 real price of oil. Remember $20 real price per barrel, real prices of oil? Remember those? Of course, that was before. Boy, George told us that I know the Saudis, and I know I can work with the Saudis. Yeah, he worked with them all right. And way above the $10 worldwide average marginal cost of producing new oil. So we're paying about, what, 60, 75% more at the pump. And a barrel of oil's roughly doubled. It's 100% more expensive now than it was under Clinton and Gore. And I went looking. I can't find anywhere that Jim Sensenbrenner or Tom Petrie or Paul Ryan or Mark Green or Glenn Spencer or Larry Kudlow or Representative Wally Herger or Dennis Hastert or Terry Everett have said a word. Well, for instance, this quote from Congressman Terry Everett. The Bush administration has failed in its duty to develop a policy to deal with our national energy supply and is therefore directly accountable for the higher... Nope. Sorry. And I couldn't find this quote either. House Speaker Dennis Hastert accused the Bush administration of misleading members of Congress about the causes of skyrocketing gas prices in the Midwest. Nope, couldn't find that one either. Bing, 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 bing. Hypocrites! Are you tired of these rotten, stinking Republican hypocrites? Now, of course, you know, we can't really talk about this because I'm sure there's something more important out there. I mean, have they found another 40-year-old woman on life support yet? Oh, it's the Michael Jackson trial. That's right. That's right. Or the bizarre incident I caught on CNN this afternoon before I came to the studios, watching some SWAT dude in black tackle some skinny little guy who had some carry-on luggage at the Capitol. That was bizarre. Yeah, brother. Now let's take a break. When we come back, your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. It's Monday night. I'm up for it. How about you? I'm Bob Kincaid.
head on.
Prepare your soil for spring planting. Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of Miracle-Gro Garden Soil, the first step toward a great garden. One of the questions I get all the time is, how can I tell when my soil is ready to be worked in the spring? The answer is pretty simple. Take a handful of soil and squeeze it together. If it doesn't stick together in a glob, it's ready to be worked. If your soil is at this point, now is the time to get it ready for the season ahead. Whether you're planting a new landscape bed or just adding a shrub or two, amending your native soil can help plants grow faster, stronger, and healthier. For one thing, it helps loosen heavy clay soils, making it easier for roots to grow and thrive. And if your soil is sandy, amending it can help improve moisture retention. Second, it puts nutrients back into the soil. You can improve your soil by adding organic matter like a commercial compost or manure. An even easier way is to add what's known as garden soil. These are all-in-one products that provide exactly the right balance of sphagnum peat moss, organic materials, and nutrients plants need. Best of all, they come in different formulations, so you can get the right soil for your need. To amend beds for flowers or vegetable gardens, spread the garden soil over the native soil and work it into the existing soil. If you're planting trees and shrubs, mix the garden soil with dirt removed from the planting holes. Then backfill the mixed soil around the transplants. By improving your soil now, your plants will grow healthy and robust during the season ahead. How does your garden grow? Beautifully, if you start with Miracle-Gro Garden Soil. It's made with rich organic ingredients and now contains Miracle-Gro Continuous Release Plant Food. So your plants will grow twice as big, guaranteed. I'm Peter Strauss for Miracle-Gro.
Beckley's premier dinner restaurant, The Char, is now open and under new ownership. Same exquisite food, same exquisite staff and service. The Char is fine dining at its best. The Char is newly remodeled and is proud to announce the addition of Southern West Virginia's finest wine list. Open for dining at 5, 6 days a week. Closed Sunday. The Char, Dry Hill Road, Beckley.
WWNR Beckley.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Broadcasting live from the WWNR employee sauna. Nice and hot in here. Throw a little more water on those hot rocks, would you? That. Don't take the towel off, for God's sakes, man. Oh, God, it's hot in here. Let's go to the phones. Jose is with us. Hey, Jose, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. Yourself, sir?
Well, I'm a-coping with these here... hypocrites.
Up to our neck in them, aren't we?
It's getting worse.
It is indeed.
Daniel said that the ungodly get control of the valuable treasures.
And they've got them with both hands, don't they?
And it's O-I-L.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I ran across those quotes, and it just blew me away, because I remembered when that went on, Jose. But I'd forgotten just how strident they were. I mean, they wanted to string up Clinton and Gore from the nearest yardarm for $25 a barrel oil. And now it's $56, $57, and everything's quiet.
Don't get worse.
Oh, I think it will.
I was calling to change the subject.
Go right ahead.
I heard you one day want to know what the modern day word for hell is.
Mm-hmm.
The definition. Can I read it to
sure,
you?
Sure, sure.
The word hell is found in many Bible translations. In the same verses, other translations read the grave, the world of the dead, and so forth. Other Bible translations simply the original language words that are sometimes rendered hell. That is, they express them with the letters of our alphabet, but leave the words untranslated. What are the words? The Hebrew Sheol, that is, and the Greek word Hades, which refer not to an individual burial place, but to the common grave of dead mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Greek Gehenna, which is used as a symbol of eternal destruction. However, both Christendom and in many non-Christian religions, it is taught that hell is a place inhabited by demons and where the wicked, after death, are punished. Some believe that this is with torment. So, that's the modern translation for the word hell.
Yeah.
And now, to me, I believe it's the grave, and that's where the skinny, the fat, the rich, and the poor, and me, and my family, and everybody goes, is to the hell, which is the grave.
Right, because that word Sheol, as it appears, if I understand correctly, from the Hebrew that you mentioned, Sheol, that was actually a trash pit outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And it kind of and I guess that's where the poor were taken and dumped and things like that when they shuffled off this mortal coil.
Well, see, Gehenna was the garbage dump, Bob.
Okay, was that Gehenna? Okay.
Yeah. Sheol is the Hebrew word that meant just the grave.
Right.
Or the pit.
Yeah.
But Gehenna was a place where they throwed their dead bodies, and that's where Jesus and those criminals were to be thrown.
That's true.
And then the rich man, they're asked to have him and put him in a burial place.
Mm-hmm.
And the King James Version calls it hell.
Right.
So that he was in hell for parts of 3 days is just saying that he was buried for parts of 3 days.
I think you're right. That's always been my understanding.
Well.
And yet so many people base their beliefs and their lives on a completely different idea, don't they?
The majority.
Yeah. It kind of, but when it's the way you describe it, Jose, doesn't it tell us to, doesn't that sort of make it more important that we make the absolute most of the time that we have?
Yes. Every day is valuable.
Every day is valuable. Every person is valuable. And every minute, you know, I walk around, I try to smile at people.
That's good.
You know, just because maybe they'll look up and smile back. I know that sounds a little simplistic.
Like laughter, smiles like laughter, and it's medicine, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
And contagious.
And if you look around, Jose, there's a whole lot of people wandering around out here not smiling.
It's terrible.
And, you know, that's no way to live a life.
No, it's best to be happy and joyful.
I think you're absolutely right.
And if you can find that, you can overcome these hurdles and things in life.
Well, that's why I try to have a little bit of laughter here and there. And, I mean, we talk about a lot of serious stuff on this show. But at some point in time, if you can't laugh, you're done.
That's right. And if you stop learning, and you think you know it all, then you're hurting too.
Oh, sure. That's how you wind up with things like, we're sure that they had weapons in Iraq. They found evidence that they thought was evidence and thought it, you know, they thought it matched what they wanted to believe, so they quit trying to learn, and the next thing you know, we're in a $200 billion war, and for what?
Oil.
It all comes down to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And then, like you said, the these weapons of mass destruction in Arkansas.
That's exactly right, and they destroyed them last week.
So, that's just a few of them.
Right.
Because, you know, back a few years ago, they was hollering, you bomb me, and we'll, what, bury y'all.
That's right.
So,
well, you know, and the Bush administration wants to build new nuclear weapons, too. I thought we had budget problems. I thought we were going broke, but we got money for new nuclear bombs, and yet we can't take care of people's medical needs?
That's the reason why they're wanting to take Social Security.
Sure. Makes perfectly good sense to me.
Yeah, they break that and the railroad and the Medicare and all these government assistance and use it for something else. And don't worry about the people. It's in iron lungs and things like that.
Well, they're not that useful. And that's what astonishes me, Jose. You've got these programs, and yet they come along. The same people come along and say that they're part of the culture of life. And they're opposed to everything that is good and decent about life. Jose, there are people out there that believe it. And it blows me away.
I was reading in the obituary a Kincaid lady, about 79. Was she kin to you?
Must not have been, because I missed that obituary.
Yeah. I saw it. You know, when you got the...
There's a lot of us.
Yeah, when you K-I-N, you're kin to everybody, you know, the Smiths and everybody.
That's about the size of it.
Yeah. Well, Bob, you have a good night.
Thank you, Jose. It's always good to hear from you.
Exposing them.
I'm going to try. It's always good to hear from you.
Jehovah bless.
And you as well, sir.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye now. Well, that's a good time to stop and take our bottom of the hour break. I don't really have enough time to do the next issue, but it's a dandy, I promise. Stick around for it. This is Head on News Talk 620 WWNR. This is me. Warm. Toasty. Sweaty. I think I've lost a couple of pounds in the last 30 minutes here in the sauna. I'm Bob Kincaid.
On. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Your cell phone bill could be going up soon. That's if Governor Manchin signs a bill approved by lawmakers Saturday night that would more than double 911 fees on cell phones and distribute more of the collected fees to smaller counties. The bill, the monthly 911 service improvement charge, from $1.48 to $3, and also increases the share collected by all but four counties. Under the new provision, the only counties receiving lower projected 911 fees would be Berkeley, Cabell, Kanawha, and Mercer. While the methamphetamine epidemic has often been associated with drug labs hidden away in the countryside, today's users frequently defy that image, whether they're urban professionals or suburban homemakers. Minnesota has been dealing with all of the above and is home to another scary trend. In Minnesota, many young people and experts who monitor drug use agree meth is steadily replacing marijuana as the teenage drug of choice. Officials in McDowell and Wyoming counties are awaiting word on the status of a proposed federal prison in Welch. Final decision on the location is expected within a month to 6 weeks. Contractors have made two changes to Phase 1 of the Indian Ridge Industrial Park in Welch to accommodate the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Work on Phase 2 of the industrial park site is now about 60% complete. The third phase of the park is proposed for housing. Construction on the federal prison will create up to 400 temporary construction jobs for more than 2 years. And there will be some extra charm tonight in Charm City. The Miss USA pageant will be televised live from Baltimore's Hippodrome Theater. The 51 women competing for the crown have spent 2 weeks in Maryland, competing in preliminary rounds, and also doing some sightseeing. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. Mild the rest of this evening, mid-70s. Tonight becoming partly cloudy, increasing cloudiness later tonight, and very mild tonight with a low 55. There's also a chance of some light showers moving in late tonight. And then for Tuesday and Wednesday, partly cloudy with showers and cooler, high both days only in the mid-50s, and lows at night in the low 40s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Paying too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payments?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles to the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota. Visit www.toyota.com. Sale ends 4/31.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search,
where there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
where there,
when disaster strikes,
we're one volunteer force,
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338
or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
More than 49,000 home child care providers in Illinois will be represented by the Service Employees International Union. The announcement was made Thursday after 2 weeks of voting in the largest union election in that state's history. Argentina Tanner is a home child care worker in Chicago. She says organizing was important to ensure child care providers receive the support they need from the state.
Anyone who wants to do this type of work should be able to do so without fear of being forced out of the daycare business because the rates are so low they can't support their own families.
Helen Miller is the president of SEIU Local 880. She says home child care providers make sure kids get a good start in life.
They give our children hope, and they help shape our future.
The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District of Arkansas declined comment when asked by Workers Independent News if it was investigating former Walmart Vice Chairman Tom Coughlin for allegedly trying to bribe union staff members. The bribes are allegedly for information on pro-union Walmart workers. Walmart has said that it turned the Coughlin matter over to the U.S. Attorney's Office for a criminal investigation. If Coughlin did bribe union members, it would be a federal crime. Walmart is accusing Coughlin of taking hundreds of thousands of dollars through expense account fraud. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union is calling on Walmart to release documents relating to Coughlin's use of some of that money for alleged anti-union activity. The UFCW says it's deeply disturbed by these allegations. Walmart says it did not know about any effort to bribe union staff for information on pro-union Walmart workers. UFCW spokesman Greg Denier told the New York Times he would be shocked if any UFCW staff members accepted any bribes to rat out pro-union Walmart workers.
In a twist, an organization workers depend on to defend their rights for fair wages is being sued for shorting workers' overtime pay. 14 current and former organizers and trainees are suing Wheat Ridge, Colorado-based United Food and Commercial Workers Local 7. Filed in Denver federal court, the suit alleges that union representatives work nearly 70 hours a week without overtime. The suit says that the union falsely classified employees as exempt from state and federal overtime rules. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Don't think your appearance matters in corporate America? Think again. The latest report from America at Work says that 1 in 5 American workers say they have been discriminated against because of the way they look. Dubbed appearance discrimination, some feel it's such a widespread epidemic that federal laws should be put in place, such as in the case of disability, sex, or race discrimination.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR, Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
You know, I think we need a sponge here in this soda. You know, just kind of drizzle the water over here. Ah, stop it. It is. It's hot in here. What do you? You know that, but it's part of being a pro. It's part of going on when things get tough. It's the Man of La Mancha I'm thinking about. You know, dream. Yeah, we all saw Gomer Pyle sing that. The undreamable. No, whatever. Jose brought up majority mainstream religion, and. I've got right here in front of me another feather in the cap for moral values Republicans. Dateline Albertville, Albertville, that's what you have to say, Albertville. Dateline Albertville, Alabama. The Marshall County Sheriff's Department has arrested a man for sexually assaulting children he came into contact with as a, wait for it, you know the answer. The decent people know the answer, and the good mainstream religious types are cringing right now. Yeah, youth minister. 40-year-old Philip Edward Collette of Albertville has been charged with 2 counts of sexual abuse and 1 count of sodomy. The sheriff's department says Collette had been a youth minister or leader in the area for the last 20 years. He's in jail right now on a $20,000 bond. Wait a minute. you diddle kitties in Marshall County, Alabama, and all it gets you is a $20,000 bond? I don't know. I'm guessing $1 million bond for this guy. Nah, he's good church people. Lordy, here we go again. Now, here's the fun part. Did you hear where I read the name of the church? No, you didn't. I called the TV news station that broke the story, spoke with them at the news desk, and they said, well, the Marshall County Sheriff's Office wouldn't give the name of the church. So I thought, well, you know how it goes, you know, so maybe the reporter was lazy. So I called and I talked to the sheriff. And he said, well, Bob, we're not releasing the name of that the churches that were involved. You can imagine we wouldn't want to do that to those congregations. Really? Wouldn't want to do it to the congregation. Just let it sink in a little bit. You'll want a shower. Wouldn't want to do it to the congregations. Never mind that, well, you know, this guy's 40 years old, 20 years, he's been a youth minister there in the community, and I'm guessing this is not the first kid he's diddled. You know what I mean? So as a consequence of that, do you think there might be any members of the community out there who maybe 10 years ago were involved in the congregation? Bob, we don't want to release that information. You know how, I mean, out of concern for the congregation. Bug spray. Out of concern for the congregation's treasury. Out of concern for the congregation's bank accounts. 20 years. 20 years that guy has been a youth minister. Now, the sheriff there with whom I spoke achieved some local some national notoriety, really, a couple of months back, because he declared that all homosexuals should be rounded up and put in prison. That's right. But we're not going to tell which churches these were out of concern for the congregation. Lord God, Billy Bob. Here it is again, and you wonder why I take the positions I do about these so-called churches. They are infested. Now, this guy did, I asked the sheriff, I said, did he have any priors? He said, no prior record, not even so much as a speeding ticket, a parking ticket. Philip E. Collette. Kitty diddler. Youth minister. I don't think this is what he had in mind when Yeshua said, suffer the little children to come unto me. I mean, call me crazy, but I don't think so. 20 years. And he gets a $20,000 bond. Now, either everybody in Marshall County, Alabama is so damn dead broke that $20,000 bond might as well be $20 million. Or maybe they just don't take the issue of kitty diddling by youth ministers. Pay attention, son, I'm talking to you. By youth ministers to be that serious. And I think it might be the latter, because there I am looking at that one, and I click over one link on the story, and I find this one. Now, while the youth minister was kitty diddling, a Huntsville lawyer who police found naked with a partially clad woman in a parked pickup truck plans to appeal his conviction Friday on misdemeanor charges of indecent exposure and harassment. Okay? they apparently found this fellow and his paramour, and a lady, in the back of the pickup truck. What's that great line from the John Prine song? With her hair up in curlers and her pants to her knees. Dear Abby, it's from Dear Abby. And they brought the full, and you know, they were doing what people who are naked in the back of pickup trucks in the middle of the night tend to be doing. And they brought the full force of the weight of the law down on these people. Well, not too awfully far away in Albertville, 40-year-old Philip Edward Collette was committing two counts of sexual abuse and one count of sodomy that they know about so far. But we're not going to mention the name of the churches for fear, because, you know, out of sensitivity to the congregations. Oh, my God. The phone number around hereabouts is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on. There you are.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
The naked people in the back of the pickup, they must have been shivering. That's the only thing I could think of. But anyway, I want to change the subject.
Oh.
An amazing thing happened today in Beckley.
Yeah?
Today was the opening of the educational mall bid.
Okay.
You remember we've talked about
it. A little bit.
There were two contractors that bid, and there were three winners.
Wow.
Imagine that.
I like those kind of odds.
Okay, the two contractors that bid were BBL Carlton, a union contractor,
right,
and Swope from Bluefield, a non-union contractor, a good contractor.
Right.
Does good work.
Yeah.
They were the only two bidders. Now, the bid was in, and Jeff, get your little pencil out and start writing this stuff down, because it's a little complicated. There were three bids.
Am I going to have to take my shoes off for the counting?
You and get your children and wife to come down there, too.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there were three bids. The base bid, that is the shell of the building with windows and a roof and weather can't get in there.
Right.
That's the base bid. Weathered in. Okay.
Right.
Then there's base bid 2A, which is the interior of the building. Then there is base bid 2B, which is exactly the same as base bid 2A, except you have to wait 90 days longer than 2A to start. Does that make any sense?
Not a damn bit, but...
Okay. Well, let's just forget about that one.
Okay.
There's two bids. The base bid, build a building, put a roof, close it in.
Right.
Bid two, do the interior of the building.
And when we say do the interior, we're talking about the plumbing,
the
pipe fittings, sprinklers,
the bathrooms, and
drywall, and
the lights and the drywall, ceilings, floors, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. The base bid, just to build the building and do that, is the lowest bid was $10,460,000. That was by BBL Carlton, a union firm.
Right.
Okay. That is $800,000, a little bit more, cheaper than the base bid from the non-union guy.
Okay.
Okay. Then the interior of the building went to the non-union guy. Well, his bid was lower.
Right.
Okay, his bid was lower. $10,480,000 as opposed to his $9,158,000. So, it was bid in phases. These are two different bids.
Right.
So in order for the people to make out, you take the base bid from BBL Carlton, union firm, build a building.
Mm-hmm.
You take the bid from Swope, non-union, to do the inside. That way, the people of West Virginia save over $800,000. The third winner in this project are all the workers.
Right.
Because whether they're union or non-union, they will all be paid the same.
Prevailing wage.
Prevailing wage. A living wage, which provides them enough money to have insurance and a pension. So there were three winners. Now we have to wait and see what the Raleigh County Commission is going to do. Because of all these, they make bidding as complicated as they possibly can.
Well, certainly.
And, you know.
Wouldn't be any fun otherwise.
Well, I think that's a shame.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I'm being sarcastic.
Right.
Wait, the bids were open, but nobody has. I mean, have they been?
Well, now they have to study the bids and, you know, who can do this and who can do the best deal and, you know, does everybody have all the proper licensing and bonds and, you know, do they owe any state agency any money and, you know, all those things.
They're current on their comp and.
Right. All that stuff has to be considered. And then now the next meeting of the Raleigh County Commission is, I don't know, whatever next Tuesday is, the 18th, 19th?
19th.
You know, supposedly we'll have some kind of answer as to what they're going to do. Now, the commission, you know, they also have the right to reject all bids and start from square one, you know. I would hope they didn't do that or don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complicated process. And this way, you know, following what I said, well, then everybody's a winner.
No,
it could be better than that.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, did you tell me at one point that that among the plans for this is also responsible energy usage and energy efficiency?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're going to drill geothermal wells. They're going to be, they don't call them solar panels anymore. They have,
collectors?
Yeah, some really fancy, yeah, well, photovoltaic.
Oh, photovoltaic cells.
Yeah. It's going to be state of the art, you know.
That's wonderful.
I mean, that was part of, I don't know if you read in the paper 3 weeks ago, a month ago or something, where AEP was going to be a partner.
Yeah.
And that was, not monetarily or, you know, not for them to pay any money, but to, you know, bring whatever ideas or technology that they know of or have developed to this center and, you know, offer it as, let's look at this.
Offhand, how many square feet is this, do you know?
67,000.
That's going to be a monster.
Yeah, it's, you know.
I mean, that's not
It's not a little built.
No.
But, you know.
I mean, I would imagine that's going to have a heck of a footprint.
Well, it is. And it's going to be beautiful also. It's really going to be a showcase of Southern West Virginia. It truly is.
So you've seen the artist renderings and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's what we should be building. Energy efficient. Let's look at all the technologies. You know, let's not count on oil anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's a very exciting project. And I couldn't be happier with the way this bid came out.
No, without a doubt.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen every day. So, you know, hopefully we'll move forward from here.
I don't think you can call it anything but moving forward.
No, you can't.
And like you said, everybody who works on it gets prevailing wage.
Yes.
Hopefully, maybe even some of the non-union guys get some pension or some health care benefits along the way. That would be the best of all possible worlds.
Well, exactly. Now, if the plan goes my way and the union contractor builds the shell, what they call it. You know, everybody there will have health insurance and a pension plan.
Right.
SWOPE, I know SWOPE offers something, some kind of insurance. Whether they have a pension plan or not, I don't really know. You know.
But, well, they certainly don't sound like some sort of, you know, fly-by-night
right.
outfit.
Now, this is, you know, if I had the power, I mean, if I was a man, that's the way this job would go.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't always have the power, except when I'm introducing legislation, then I have all the power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I do. Well, is the county commission beholden to take, I mean, they don't have to take the low bid?
Well, yeah, the way the job, or the way that goes is, it's the lowest, the law says you have to accept the lowest responsible bidder.
Okay.
Okay, in this case, both of these people are responsible. I have nothing bad to say. You know,
yeah.
Rope Construction's, they're non-union, but they do good work.
Yeah.
They do very good work.
So is that word responsible where the fiddling around space works into the process, or I mean, is that how they could decide to throw it all out if they wanted to? And of course, we hope they don't.
Well, if you know, these people leave histories.
Yeah.
You know, and some contractors have more lawyers working for them than they have craftsmen.
Yeah.
You know, those are the guys you want to kind of avoid, you know, because
mm-hmm.
everybody's afraid of lawsuits.
Well,
the Raleigh County School Board built that school over in Gray Flats, that elementary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had so much trouble with that company from the beginning. Footings, when you start messing up on the footings, well, I don't want you on my job anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if you start, okay, say the front
well,
of your
building. Well, that's literally screwed up from the ground up, right?
Right. But just say, for instance, the front of your building's 300 feet. So you start from the left and the right with footings.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the middle, they kind of miss each other by 2 feet.
Yeah, that's, you're going to.
You're out of here. You know, I don't want to, okay, your instrument was broke, right. All right, go get it fixed, but don't come back here anymore.
Yeah, don't get it fixed on our time.
Right, well, I mean, that's history.
Yeah.
So, if somebody's bidding a job and I know that's their history, I'm going to let that awarding agency know that, wow, look what this guy did on this last job.
Right.
Then they know that guy's not responsible.
And we're not talking about either of these companies in that regard.
Right.
Yeah. Well, didn't BBL?
No. These are both very reputable companies.
Well, I was going to ask you, didn't BBL do the new ballpark in Charleston?
They certainly did.
And that thing's a beauty.
Yeah, it is, man. When did they open up? When? Next week or something? When's their first game?
I thought Thursday.
Oh, is it that quick?
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, I think there's going to be like Raleigh County Day and then Fayette County Day, various and sundry. I'm anxious to get the kids down there. And because, I mean, I think the most expensive seat in the house is like $6.
And it better stay that way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that's for. Kids and, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I always enjoyed going to Watt Powell, too, because it's one of the few things you can do with your family and, you know, not have to take out a boat loan these days.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, anyway, pal.
Well, that's great news. It sounds like, well, I don't know, let's add a fourth winner. How about the people of Raleigh County?
Oh, yeah. Not just Raleigh.
People of West Virginia.
I forget how many, you know, there's going to be 8 colleges.
Yeah, Concord, Bluefield State.
West Virginia Tech, New River Community. Oh, God. You know, there's 8 of them.
Yeah.
All together. And they're all going to be offering classes. It's going to be a beautiful building, a beautiful location. And hopefully it's going to encourage more economic growth.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good things happening down here. The down at Concord now, I believe Monday, is the pre-bid hearing for their new... Well, it's the Ray Hall Technology Center.
Yeah.
I think that's the right word. You know, that's going out for bid. That's a $8 to $10 million building. So there's a lot of good things happening, and people should be positive.
I think we've got things to look forward to in Southern West Virginia if we can keep the momentum going. I'm really impressed by the energy sustainability issue on this mall out here. That the idea of the geothermal wells is really, really exciting.
Oh, yeah, and for cooling also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, remember that. It's 54 degrees in winter.
Yeah, it's 54 degrees. You know, once you get below the frost line, the Earth temperature is 54 degrees winter and summer.
And summer.
Yeah, and that's cool.
So that means when you bring it up in the summer, you're cooling.
Right.
When you bring it up in the winter, you're heating.
Right. and it just
that's a pretty good deal.
It's awesome, and that idea is featured in the film that I've talked about a couple of times, Wayne, Kilowatt Hours. And that's where I first saw the practical effects of it, and it just thrills me to death to know that they're doing
it. You keep mentioning that.
You have got to see
this. They wanted $100 for it. Is there a place you could get it cheaper?
It's not supposed to be that way because they offered out at a cheaper price at the end of the film.
Okay.
We'll pull some strings, maybe.
All right. All right, man.
All right, see you, Wayne.
Hey, have a good one.
Thanks for the news.
All right, buddy.
Later. All right. We've got to take our top of the hour news break. But that is exciting. And by the way, if you get a chance to see Kilowatt Hours, our friends at Coal River Mountain Watch show it from time to time. It's worth your time to sit because that part of the film is inspiring. How, with very small efforts, you can go a long way towards saving a mountain or two. And the geothermal is just mind-bogglingly exciting. Because, and the thing is, I guess the technology is sort of high-tech. But the thinking behind it isn't. Everybody who's got who had a granny with a root cellar knows what temperature is in the root cellar, and it's 54 degrees, and it stays that way. All right, break time. The phone number's 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Learn it, know it, use it. I'm Bob. This is Head On.
I'm Mesa Leek, and I want to tell you about the history of jazz. Not the beautiful American music that I love to sing, but my beautiful son named Jazz. He was born 15 weeks premature, fragile, and weighing barely 2 pounds while I was on tour in Japan. Jazz finally came home after months in the hospital, but then he was infected with a virus called RSV. I had never heard of RSV, but quickly learned that while it's a common virus, usually amounting to little more than a cold in healthy kids, for premature infants and other at-risk children, RSV can be life-threatening. Fortunately, there are ways to help prevent RSV in premature children, and that's the future of jazz. To learn more, call 1-877-848-8512. That's 1-877-848-8512. Or visit www.marchofdimes.com.
Exciting things are happening at the library. Libraries in 16 counties are teaming up to offer more services, books, and information than ever before. And you can be a part of it. Just stop by your local library for a brand new card and ask about the new Mountain Library Network. Many libraries, one card does it all.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
I'm Frank Abagnale. You might have seen some of my scams in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Fake insurance policies are scams, and they're on the rise. But fighting fake insurance is simple. Know what to look for and catch it because you can. For more information, visit NAIC.org or call your state insurance department.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Looking ahead to a rainy, cool overnight as we develop another chance of showers. A 49 greets us early on Tuesday. Rainy and cooler on Tuesday afternoon with only a high 51, an 8 and 10 chance of showers, and nearly a quarter of an inch of the wet stuff. We'll continue with that tomorrow night and back with showers Wednesday, 47.
WWNR Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Talking with the inimitable John Kepie a little bit about the incident at the Capitol today. Going to try to find out a little bit more, maybe connect a few dots or something once we do find out. Interesting story. I mean, I saw the video of the takedown. You know, guy in black standing there with his hands behind his back as he gets tackled by Capitol Security, and then a little bit later, amongst the babbling of the talking heads, they blow up a suitcase or some such. And precious little in the way of details. I heard a blurb about it during one of the ABC News broadcasts, but just not a lot more out there. Although John tells me that he heard one story that they thought the guy had a CD player or something that had wires coming off of it. Boy, our Johnny on the spot mainstream news media. You can't slip anything past them. They get all the details, don't they? My aching back. Really? Let's go to the phones. The phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 1-800-620-WWNR. That's 9967 on your keypad. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
Get through the weekend okay?
Oh, well, you know how it is. Yeah. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but it all adds up. Listen, I just wonder if you and John would like, I could bring y'all some Stoli and some birch leaves, and y'all can swat each other down there if it's that bad. I mean, you must have a real Russian sauna bath.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's hot, man. I'm not kidding you.
As my sainted grandmother used to say, my God, this room is hot as a crotch.
She must have been sainted to get away with something like that.
Well, she was on the speaker mind, really. By the way, this lady from ThermoSpas called me this afternoon.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't know how these people get my number, and she says, I want to sell you a hot tub. And I said, lady, I'll buy it if you'll get in it with Tom DeLay. And she said, I don't think that's very funny. And I said, listen, I said, all the sexual perversion going on in this country, all they have to do is flash aversion therapies of Tom DeLay in a hot tub, and that would be enough to qualm anybody's libido.
Yeah, there went my after-dinner snack, Jim. Thanks a million.
But anyway, you know, Tom has been going to the sleep disorder center.
Really?
Yes, what I hear. A friend of mine told me, and they've actually got recordings of him emoting some type of thing that's been bothering him in his dreams.
What is he? Is he mumbling, the horror, the horror?
No, it's this. Listen. That's what he's been saying.
I believe it.
And anyway, Mr. DeLay is now an inch closer to, you know, maybe seeing his own denouement.
I would like to hope so.
I wish he would stay there a little bit longer, because, I mean, behaving as arrogantly as he has been and as being as stupid as he has been,
he's good for us.
He's worth 100 Democrats.
Hey, oh, he's good for us.
Real good. I mean, he is like the Bolsheviks. I mean, they said Rasputin was worth 100 Bolsheviks as long as he was around the imperial court, you know?
Oh, yeah. But have you noticed, Jim, that it is, in fact, a nefarious liberal plot to bring down a man of God? That's the defense.
Yeah, like I guess when the police busted this youth leader who had been dealing with these children, that was a nefarious plot by them to bring down another man of God.
I guess. Yeah, and I mean, over the weekend and the last few days before the weekend, Fox News was out there. You know, Brit Hume, who has no credibility whatsoever, was saying, "Tom DeLay and his troubles. Is it another fabrication by the liberal media?"
I heard Brit had left Fox.
No, he's still there.
He's still there.
Unfortunately.
Oh, God, looks like he's sucking on a lemon.
Yeah, just about.
It's embalmed.
You know, it's just so sad that it takes a Republican congressman from Connecticut to finally just make the call and say what we're all thinking. You know, Christopher Shays, when he said, you know, Tom's embarrassing the party and Tom's got to go.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, when the Wall Street Journal about 10 days ago had that something worse, the effect that something was definitely foul. There was a foul odor, or worse, that effect, something rotten in the state of Denmark.
Yeah.
And when a conservative publication like that comes into being, you know,
Yeah, and
you have to wonder.
And you know, you get the idea that, you know, maybe Karl Rove has decided that Tom DeLay's, you know, sun has set. He's run his race, and it's time for him to just go back to being an ordinary congressman. They're not going to run him out, but just to get him out of that majority leader position.
Well, now, you know, during the last election, he only got 53% of his district.
That's true.
And they're tired of this, and they're actually tired of saying he's our SOB.
Yeah, because
I mean, even he's causing those people down there to think.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit costly for him, or for the people of Sugarland. I mean, you don't want to wake up every day and realize that you've got a cretin in the House of Representatives. You know, just a dirty money grubbing. Well, and there's more stories out there than most people are even aware of, Jim. I'll try to get to one later in the evening. The story of his shenanigans with the island of Saipan is enough to make you forego dinner.
Oh, so he's pulled another one.
Well, no, this is an old one. But,
back in the past now, these skeletons are coming out of the closet.
Yeah, I mean, it was published in the Washington Post, but, you know, it was back during the time when, you know, unless a Democrat was doing it, it wasn't worth mentioning. I mean, it's like these creeps that lambasted Bill Clinton over oil that was at $25 a barrel. You know, Terry Everton.
You know, they literally bird-dog President Clinton from day one.
Yeah, and it must hang in their craws like a rock in a chicken's gizzard when they see what happened in Rome. You know, they had the big screen, you know, the jumbotrons or whatever set up hither,
right,
and yon, and they'd flash a picture of President Bush sitting there, and the entire city of Rome would boo. They booed.
Oh, I love it.
They booed at a funeral. Then, on the other hand, Bill Clinton takes a walk at the Spanish Steps, and I'm sure you're from the Spanish Steps in Rome.
Yes, I am.
Rather a tony little district. But there were shopkeepers and, you know, butchers and bakers and, you know, all kinds of ordinary people just coming out on the street, saying, Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton. You know.
Oh, the man's a national treasure, Bob.
Oh, they loved him. I mean, they were mobbing him, crowding, and just, you know, he was being Bill Clinton standing. We love Bill Clinton. We love Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton president.
Well, you know, like they said, you know, when, you know, Bill Clinton has had his problems, but I mean, they literally, from 1993 onward, were out to, I mean, all of the stuff that they tried to nail him on, I don't see how that poor man stood the 8 years he was in office.
Well, because he had a lot of starch, and he had a lot of spine, and he had a lot of guts, and I think there was a wellspring of something inside him that just enjoyed beating the snot out of those Republicans, and he knew that every time they stepped up, he could whip them.
Absolutely, and now he's got this position with the United Nations to those countries that were affected by that tsunami, and you know he's basically now your elder statesman.
Yeah, yeah,
and
he is.
Will be looked up to as such and respected. I mean, you know, if it could happen, and the same thing in a way happened to Richard Nixon after he got over the stench of Watergate. Because even he had his good points.
You know, I remember the T-shirts that showed Nixon for president. You know, I'm tanned, rested, and ready.
I'm what?
Tanned, rested, and ready.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, Clinton is going to assume a similar role, except I think with not as much dirt as Nixon had on him, and he's not as mean-spirited as Nixon.
Well, I saw an article, our friend Chris sent it to me, and it talked about how It said that George Bush sat on the plane and, you know, picked Clinton's brain and asked Poppy for advice and all about, so you know, how to handle Social Security. You know, just beautiful, brilliant PR stuff straight from the mind of Karen Hughes and Karl Rove.
Lord have mercy, those two are something else, I'll tell you. But anyway, you know, President Bush is not going to be able to get his Social Security plan through. It's going to fail.
Well, I hope you're right, but plans for phase two, I've got the story over here plans for Phase 2 are already in the works.
Which are?
We're past the education phase now, and this is the part where, Phase 1 is heightened the sense that this is a big issue worthy of immediate consideration by Congress, said Karl Rove, chuckling maniacally and twirling his black handlebar mustache. And then he says that Phase 2 is to coordinate with congressional leaders to begin setting out the menu of potentially painful solutions.
Well, I think the major portion of that pain is going to be visited on them, because these people they serve at the pleasure of the American electorate, and I don't think they're going to let it happen. And when they begin to discuss some of these painful solutions, it's going to make that whole thing even more unpopular.
I hope so. I genuinely hope so, because it's snake oil. After I'm still waiting. After George Bush went to Parkersburg and declared that the Social Security filing cabinet there is a bunch of quote worthless IOUs unquote, I'm still waiting for him to come out and say, and by the way, that money in your pocket, that's worthless paper money too. I mean, why not just get the job done one fell swoop?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, that man has done a great deal to destroy the full faith and credit of the United States.
Oh, can you imagine the people that he's hung all this bad paper on all around the world, hearing him call Treasury notes a worthless IOU?
Well, here's a man who has never had any financial responsibility, and whenever he's been in a tight spot, somebody's always been there to bail him out, and the other people in there with him, they're the ones who take it on the chin, not him.
Well, right, and this...
So he has no conception of money.
And but the problem this time, Jim, is that role is being played by the American people, and the stakes are a hell of a lot higher now.
I understand that, that's for sure. And, I don't think... Well, I just don't think that he will be able to complete this task.
Well, I hope you're right.
And I think I am. And, because I believe people are beginning to wake up and realize that the Social Security thing is his. And have you seen the AARP ads on TV about it?
Not yet, I haven't, no.
Well, basically, Bush has one with a stopwatch. The AARP had this guy come into a woman's house and her drain is clogged. And he said, well, we're going to have to tear down the whole house. And then a wrecking ball hits the house, and then this big backhoe comes in. It starts digging right through her grand piano. And it says, this is what the Republican solution for Social Security is.
It's about the size of it, isn't it?
But yeah, tear down the whole house. I mean, just because the drain is clogged, you don't tear down the whole structure. And that's what Bush is effectively trying to do. And people have enough sense to realize that, that's exactly what's going to happen. Exactly. And I don't believe any, no matter these people, they have seen their gaudiest hours. I really believe. And it's starting to run like an old sock.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's 06, as far as I'm concerned, the 2006 midterms are now.
And by the way, in 06, when this Medicare reform bill that they rammed through in the wee hours of whenever they did last year,
mm-hmm.
when in 06 that thing goes into effect and people are affected by that, I think by November of 06, there's going to be some awfully upset people.
I think you're probably right. Jim, we need to take our break.
Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Sure, as always. You have a good evening.
All right, you too. Later. And, break time, and when we come back, you can't get anything past John Kepia. I've got the skinny on the guy at the Capitol. We need to talk about this. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
If you think carpet care is just about professional service with a low price, you're right. At Bruce's Carpet Care, we're all about professional service and low prices. That's all you need to worry about. Bruce's has 40 years combined experience and is the most reliable around. Bruce's offers free estimates, and right now is offering four rooms and Scotch Guard for just $99. Cheap, professional. That's all you need to know. Call 253-3419. 253-3419.
Bruce's Carpet Care. Around the block, just up your street.
An injury or illness could not only affect your health, it could put your finances in jeopardy. Anything from buying everyday items like groceries to saving for retirement could become a burden. That's why it's important you talk to your State Farm agent, Neil Straub in Beckley, Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Dooley in Richwood, about making health insurance an essential part of your financial plan. They can help you protect your financial health with competitively priced health insurance products from Assurant Health. For more information on health insurance from Assurant Health, talk to Bill Straub in Beckley, or Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Dooley in Richwood. Coverage is issued and underwritten by Fortis Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. No member of the State Farm family of companies is financially responsible for the product. Fortis Insurance Company is not an affiliate of State Farm.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Honey, can you pour me some water?
Yeah, sure.
This year, United Way helped provide over 29,627 prescriptions for the uninsured and gravely ill in Wichita. We called upon 65 pharmacies, 100 social services, and 604 volunteer physicians. Together, we helped over 1,623 patients cope with pneumonia, hepatitis, even cancer. And it doesn't matter.
How do you feel?
The number of pills and programs doesn't really matter. What matters is each new day they make possible.
I feel great.
What matters? United Way.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. Almost 24 minutes after 8 o'clock. Okay, I've got three separate stories here that I have quickly digested. One from ABC News, which is about as useful as a screen door on a submarine. Not your fault, John. I mean, yeah. I got one from Reuters that's actually got some detail in it, and one from the Associated Press. Here's what it boils down to. A man wearing all black stood in front of the west side of the Capitol building of the United States of America, a 33-year-old man from China. He had his suitcases with him. And he stood there staring in awe at the Capitol. The west side of the Capitol is pretty impressive. And staring at the Capitol building, he was, in fact, awestruck. Now, it would appear this gentleman doesn't have, you know, in the European languages, one speaks of having a language, and he apparently does not have much English. Capitol Police Chief Terrence Gaynor said the man had recently entered the country and we're still working with the Secret Service to determine any new information about him. The man drew the attention of a Capitol police officer in the early afternoon. That's from the Reuters report. When the man would not respond to police, they cleared the surrounding area and told people to stay away from the windows and asked staff to clear offices closest to the area. Now, when have we heard this before? The man would not respond to officers. Okay?
He doesn't speak English much.
So, he's standing there with his hands behind his back. He gets tackled. You know, you can almost hear the radio traffic.
Base, this is Unit 1. Guard, base. I think we got us one of them ninjas. He's dressed all in black. Take him down.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, they tackled him. The guy's probably got a traumatic brain injury from the way they took him down. He's standing there with his hands behind his back. It's not like he can detonate anything. He might have had one of them ninja mouth detonators on him. And, you know, they tackle, you know, there he is standing in front of the, you know, one of the greatest symbols of freedom on earth, or at least it used to be. And they tackle him.
Who are you? What are you doing here? Osama send you.
We now know the guy has a history of mental problems and immigration issues. He is known to the Secret Service for repeated unscheduled visits to the White House. I talk to President Bush. Oh, my God. And they blew up his suitcases because they took remote x-rays of it or something, and there was a suspicious-looking compact disc player in it. Oh, God. We have become a nation of terrified fools. Just immigration issues. History of mental problems. Now, wait a minute. We've talked about this before. Back in the 70s, before the Iron Curtain came down, before the wall fell.
Before Ronald Reagan destroyed the Soviet Union.
Doesn't this read like something out of TOS?
Gaynor said the suspect is a 33-year-old man from China who has a history of mental problems and immigration issues.
Wait a minute. How about something out of Pravda?
The dissident is a 33-year-old man from Minsk who is known to the glorious People's Soviet Socialist Republic of having a history of mental problems.
Fishy stuff. Lots of fishy stuff here. The man briefly turned and saw them as they crouched behind a wall after he turned back to the building. With his hands behind his back, I saw it. With his hands behind his back, they came over the wall. Two tackled him and dragged him. No, one guy tackled him. Looked like he wanted to break him in two. And then the other guy jumped up and grabbed his right arm while the other guy grabbed his left arm, and they tried to tear him in two, and then they decided to go off to the left. We are a nation of terrified rabbits. They blew up this guy's boxer shorts. Oh, my God. Well, bottom of the hour break time. Your thoughts, 252-6200, or if you want us to pay the freight, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Two Jaeger men have been charged in an arson fire that has killed a prominent McDowell County politician and doctor in his home. Tommy Owens and Charles Jason Lively were charged yesterday with first-degree murder, first-degree arson, and conspiracy in the death of Eb Keister Doc Whiteley Jr., who died March 15th. 25-year-old Owens was ordered held without bond after his arraignment. Supreme Court Justice Larry Starcher and two circuit judges will portray 1893 judicial officials in a play about a landmark school integration case written by Starcher's law clerk and performed tonight at the Tucker County Courthouse. They were 4 years old the last time they were together. Recently, a 5-year search ended when half-sisters Faithlin K. Hunt and Brittany Smith met in Logan. Their mothers, Becky Adams Hunt of Logan and Christina DeVore of Frankfort, Kentucky, have spent several years searching the internet and telephone listings for each other, and for some unknown reason, the girl's biological father did not want them to be in contact. Despite his silence, the mothers finally located each other and planned a reunion of the girls. Forbidden by a pending court challenge from recommending pet projects for funding in the budget digest, the legislature may instead carve specific spending mandates into the multi-billion dollar budget that it must prepare for next week. And the cell phone bill you're using could go up. That's if Governor Manchin signs a bill approved by lawmakers last night to more than double 911 fees on cell phones and to distribute more of the collected fees to smaller counties. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy and very warm. Temperatures now still in the low to mid-70s. Later on tonight, partly cloudy and mild. Low tonight, 55 to 60. There is also a chance, and slight chance, of showers with a low tonight near 55. For tomorrow, a chance of showers and cooler. Tomorrow's high near 55. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
It was hilarious to see our Congress critters rising up on their hind legs recently and bellowing like a herd of angry bovines, denouncing the shameful immorality, shameful, I say, of people who run up debts they can't pay off, saddling others with a loss. I laughed, I cried, I threw up. Are there no mirrors in Congress? These are the same free-spending bums who've piled a debt the size of the Milky Way on the backs of future generations, not counting the trillions more they would add by supporting Bush's Social Security privatization scheme, his endless warmongering, and more tax giveaways to the rich, not to mention voting themselves another pay raise this year. What bothered the critters, however, was not the federal budget, but your credit card debts. Bellowing that poor credit card companies are being swamped by irresponsible so-and-sos who run up debts and then declare bankruptcy, they stampeded a new law through Congress that prevents average Joes and Janes from getting bankruptcy protection. They wailed about the plight of MasterCard, MBNA, Citicorp, and the other giants being victimized, I say, by you worthless scufflaws. But wait, some 90% of personal bankruptcies are the result of people suffering medical emergencies, job loss, and divorce. Amendments were offered to exempt cases of medical bankruptcy, members of the armed services, those caring for ill or disabled family members, victims of identity theft, but no, 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 and no again, bellowed the majority. This is Jim Hightower saying, the majority did, however, make one compassionate exception to their effort to stop people from using the bankruptcy law. Current law contains a millionaire's loophole that allows the rich to set up asset protection trusts of unlimited size where they can hide their wealth if they're planning to file for bankruptcy. As a gesture of fairness, Democrats tried to restrict this loophole. No, bellowed the majority, leaving the bankruptcy protection as the exclusive retreat of the rich.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. I got to share an ingenuity moment with you. I was proud of myself. Friday night, the show ended. I went down, got in the car, and it was like something out of a C.W. McCall. Remember C.W. McCall, Convoy, Wolf Creek Pass? It was like something out of Wolf Creek Pass. He grabbed her narrow or grabbed on the shifter and he stabbed her into fifth gear, and then the chromium plated fully illuminated genuine accessory shift knob come right off in his hand. That happened to me. I got in the car, I started it up, put my foot on the brake, reached down to the and the shifter on the console came off in my hand, and I couldn't get the car into reverse. Now, after several minutes of concerted swearing, and I started, let's solve the problem. And I got to tell you, I was proud of myself. I got when I told my lovely wife about it, when I got home, she said, "Oh, honey, you're all MacGyver." There was this little sad little plastic piece sticking up out of this steel
the shaft coming up out of the console, and just thought about it for a little bit, and lo and behold, realized that that piece of plastic was the same size as the gauge part of my tire pressure gauge. Pushed it down in, got it all the way to the bottom, shifted into reverse, drove on home. Great moments in higher primate thinking, I gotta tell you. Things like that are frustrating, though, aren't they? It's like finding out that your vehicle's got an inline fuel filter that's inside the gas tank. Thanks, guys! And no more shade tree mechanicking for you. Oh, but anyway, by the way, it is time for one of those group accountability moments. Everybody look in the back, just check the tag in your shirt. See if it says made in Bangladesh. Especially if you might have purchased it at Wally World. Low prices every day. Thanks. Why, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. 9-story garment factory, this is an AP story, a 9-story garment factory collapsed. No, damn it. How about some honesty in journalism? A 9-story sweatshop collapsed after a boiler exploded early Monday in Savar, Bangladesh, killing at least 8 people. Now I checked before I went on the air, the death toll's up to 15. Trapping at least 200 others in the rubble, according to police and rescue workers. Rescuers recovered 4 bodies and rescued at least 60 injured workers. But about 200 people were missing, according to Salim Nawaz Bouyan, the fire brigade official at the scene. The wreckage was so bad, welding machines had to be used to cut holes in the rubble to try to reach people or to pump air to survivors. At one point, a trapped worker, emphasis on the word worker, called relatives on his cell phone from beneath the slabs of concrete. He said he was dying, and he asked for some water. That, according to Nurul Islam, a police officer. He said, "We're trying to locate him." The government's ordered an investigation into the accident. The collapsed, listen carefully, the collapsed factory was built on a swamp 3 years ago. Swamp. Now, why is it a group accountability moment? I think you can connect these dots pretty easily, can't you? You got a tag in the back of your shirt, or in your jeans, or your khakis, or blouse, whatever, amongst the ladies. And it says made in Bangladesh. Now, that's not the only sweatshop in Bangladesh, but you've got a pretty good chance, especially if you got it at Walmart. Because from everything I've been able to find, looks like this is one of those Walmart vendors. Low prices every day. Maybe if you're lucky, you can go to Walmart tonight and find something. For all you know, you might be able to find a piece of Bangladeshi clothing, and it might be something really special. It might be one of the last pieces of clothing made by one of those poor tortured souls in that sweatshop built on top of a swamp in Savar, Bangladesh. Now, if the Republicans are to be believed, personal responsibility is everything. But as I meant, personal responsibility also has a component of group responsibility, doesn't it? And it's we as a group, it's we as Americans who keep the lights on at Walmart. And it's Walmart who hates, despises, deplores, loathes, detests. Somebody get me a thesaurus. I need some more words. Workers. Workers are the things that you pay as little as possible so that you can make more almighty profit if you're Walmart. Because, you see, we know for a fact because of the few factories that are still extant in the United States. We know that union workers can make, produce, and put on the retail market clothing that is every bit as high quality as anything being made in Bangladesh. And they can do it making a living wage, and they can do it with a pension, and they can do it with benefits. You know, health care, dental, eye. They can do it without being chained to their tables. They can do it without breathing dust until they die at an early age. And when the good is, when the garment is finished, it wears a little tag that says, "Proudly made in the United States." And that garment will compete at a retail cost that is equal to or less than any piece of third world crap you can buy at Walmart. So all of that being factored into the equation, we know, oh, God, it's up to 23 dead now and 350 trapped. 89 others pulled alive. No, we know that the only margin, since the workers are being paid a decent wage and producing a quality garment in the United States, the only difference in what's going on in the sweatshops of Asia and Central America, the only difference is the crap wages and miserable, inhuman working conditions to which these people are subjected. Group responsibility, you're damned right. Does it say Bangladesh in your shirt, your sneakers, whatever? Group responsibility. I'm sure if I go home and go through the dresser drawer, I'll find some Bangladeshi clothes, because it's almost impossible to find those American garments, because God knows if a union worker made it, Walmart ain't gonna sell it. Okay? So yeah, group responsibility. Those nine stories collapsed to one-story high rubble. The rescuers say it's going to take at least a couple of days. The accident happened at a time, you know, thank God, the sweatshop workers were working the night shift on three floors of the nine-story factory. No fewer than 450 workers were inside the building when it started going down at around 12:45 a.m., I heard a big sound and rushed to the eastern side to find the building was crumbling like a house of cards, said Mustafa, an electrician of the factory, who went out for tea at a nearby tea stall. Unlike the people inside. Are you well versed enough in history, and I know the people who are familiar, who are dedicated members of labor are, I don't know about the rest of the folks. The Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, where the doors were dogged to keep the workers from taking restroom breaks. That was, 1895, 1905, something like that. We saw the entire building breaking down right before our eyes and heard those who were trapped crying out. Think about it. This happened to American people. This happened to American workers 100 years ago or more at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory in New York. And it happened again and again, these kinds of this miserable business. And that is where organized labor was born in many instances. And organized labor standing up and dealing with management was able to work out safer working conditions for the people who made the things that we need. And yet, if you hear, well, for instance, the news conference that came from the head of Walmart last week when he called in 200 journalists for a gaggle to try to shore up the miserable, sinking, sickening image that is Walmart, said, "Well, unions are targeting us because we believe that the union's day has come and gone. We do not need unions to deal with an economy of scale." What an SOP. Really? Walmart doesn't need unions. You know why Walmart doesn't need unions? Because if there's 23 dead in Bangladesh and 350 trapped, if you reverse that and there's 350 dead in Bangladesh and 23 trapped, you know why Walmart doesn't need a union? Because it doesn't matter in Bangladesh. Because if 500 are dead, if 1,000 are dead, there are 1,000 more desperate human beings waiting to take their place. This is nothing new. It happened here. My God, it happened within 10 miles of where I live during the digging of the Gauley Mountain Tunnel. When Gauley Bridge became known as the Town of the Living Dead. And strong, proud, hard-working black men would come out of that tunnel crusted ghostly white with the silica dust and coughing their lungs into their hands. And they'd look at the boss man and say, "Boss man, I need to take a break. I can't breathe so good right now." And he'd say, "You're fired. Get out. If you don't want to do the work, by God, there's somebody waiting right there that does." And that man went off and died. And the man that replaced him came out a few days later and said, "Boss, I need to take a break. I ain't breathing so good." And the boss man said, "You're fired. Get out. Go on. If you're too damned lazy to work, get on with you. We'll find somebody who wants to work." And another man walked in, and a couple of days later he came out and said, "Boss man, I can't breathe so good. I need to take a break." And he said, "You're fired. Get out. Go on with you. If you're too lazy to work, that man's not." How many died digging the Hawk's Nest Tunnel? How many died for the insatiable greed of Union Carbide? How many? And how many other places in this great nation was that same story repeated time and time again? Oh, it was black lung in the West Virginia coal fields, but it was brown lung in the textile mills of the South. And if they asked for a dust mask, "Get out! Go on! There's somebody here that wants to work. You're just being lazy. You're a malcontent. You're shiftless. You're no good." There is nothing, not 10 cents worth new in all of this. Nothing. But to our eternal shame, and some might argue damnation, while there's nothing new in it, we see it happening in other countries and we say, "Well, this is the miracle of the free, modern, global economy. And those people, well, they're happy with that 17 cents a day. Do you know how much 17 cents a day will buy you in Bangladesh? Now, my granddaddy, he was a union man. But we don't need no unions no more." Why? Well, you can argue because George Bush has gotten rid of all the, you know, the jobs. Group accountability. Got a Bangladeshi shirt? Got a Kuala Lumpur shirt? Got a Honduran shirt, a Guatemalan shirt, got a Chinese shirt? Guess what? You're on the hook. You are morally on the hook. Why did the building collapse, you might ask? I'll tell you. It was a boiler explosion. Because in Bangladesh, where it's low prices every day, they use outdated boilers, they use dangerous boilers, they use dilapidated boilers. No safety valves. And they blow up all over the third world. Because when you're a slave to Walmart, you gotta keep prices down. And this is the legacy that the upstanding, fine, moral, city fathers in Fayetteville have passed off to my county. And it's what the folks in Raleigh County are getting a brand new one of. My God, it's going to get to the point where that nasty little yellow smiley face is going to be on. You're going to see it so often that when you close your eyes at night, you'll see it on the insides of your eyelids. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And I've got a list here of things that have happened in Bangladesh. Break your heart. Between March 11th and April 11th, at least 30 persons were killed and 130 others injured in boiler explosions across the country, mostly due to lax maintenance and lack of government monitoring. Because, of course, you realize, don't you, that Bangladesh has an office, an official representative of the country headquartered, like most other third world countries, in Bentonville, Arkansas. And the government gets the goodies from Bentonville, and they get, well, the workers get some shiny new chains. The workers get the privilege of being the people who destroy countless lives and lifestyles in the United States because Walmart hates a union. How do I know Walmart hates a union? And I'll tell you how I know Walmart hates a union. I'm not going to do it right now because it takes a little bit of time. But they do. Many workers trapped inside of the rubble of the Spectrum sweater and knitting factory after its collapse died silently in front of the rescuers and their relatives screaming for help throughout Monday. A heart-rending situation prevailed at Palashbari Savar, as dozens of the men and women workers of the nine-story garment factory sweatshop, which caved in early Monday, cried continuously for help until noon. Listen to the words that were said by these people who probably made some of your clothing. Please help me. I am dying. I can no longer bear the pain, cried Ghafoor as his father, brothers, and some volunteers were trying desperately to pull him out at about 1 p.m. They cried until they cried no more. And the wet, salty tears they cried were born of American corporate greed. Many trapped, especially women, cried for help till noon, but they became silent before dusk. But the union's day has passed. And you're not willing. Well, you know how it is. You need low prices every day. Say a little prayer tonight for the people of Savar. Because they died for your low prices. This is Head On. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Roseanne Cash. To millions of people, Johnny Cash was a music legend. To me, he was just Dad. When he died, a lot of people thought a lifetime of hard living finally caught up with him. And it's true, Dad had his demons, but he also had diabetes. For years, he ignored it, even as his health and vision slipped away. Until one day, as he sat in his office, surrounded by books he could no longer read, he said to me, "This is a room full of regrets now." Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, and worst of all, take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better, too. For a free new guide on managing your blood sugar daily, visit healthywithdiabetes.org. A message from the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Beckley, it's 9 o'clock.
I'm Frank Abagnale. You might have seen some of my scams in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Fake insurance policies are scams, and they're on the rise. But fighting fake insurance is simple. Know what to look for and catch it because you can. For more information, visit NAIC.org or call your state insurance department.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Looking ahead to a rainy, cool overnight as we develop another chance of showers. A 49 greets us early on Tuesday. Rainy and cooler on Tuesday afternoon with only a high of 51, an 8 and 10 chance of showers, and nearly a quarter of an inch of the wet stuff. We'll continue with that tomorrow night and back with showers Wednesday, 47.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Yeah, about 55 minutes and change to get your thoughts in during the last hour of tonight's show. 252-6200 is the phone number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-WWNR, which incidentally is 9967. Jeff has been waiting patiently. Hey, Jeff, you're Head On.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up now?
Oh, you are.
The old running of the possums. Finally over it.
Lord God, it couldn't end soon enough, could it?
I tell you, there's a lot of things that goes down and how they do things that I'm just not real a whole lot crazy about.
Well, they did it. You know, one of these days they're going to figure out how to have a 60-day legislative session, and not try to do it. They remind me of the kids who didn't study before exams and tried to get a semester's worth of learning done in one night cram session.
I'm not real crazy about that. You know, look, if the session's not long enough, let's go to 75-day session.
It's long enough, Jeff.
Well, you know, we ought to have a rule then that on the last day you can't push into more than 5 fields.
Maybe that might work.
Because that's not good government. That's not good government. You know, and, you know.
doesn't it lend itself to a little bit better strong-arming and a little bit better desperation politicking?
Do what now?
I said, doesn't it lend itself to the idea of desperation politicking and strong-arming in government?
Yeah.
I think that's why they like it that way.
You know, and Mr. Tomlin and Mr. Kiss, they're impressive. I mean, Bob Kiss is a bulldog on the gavel, buddy. You ever watch him do that?
Oh, yeah. That gavel moves faster than a desperate auctioneer.
He's a pro, ain't he? I don't think that's good government, ramming bills like that one right after the other. You know, I don't think that's the way that government was intended to be set up. One thing that they do, noticed that they do it in the Senate, like when President Tomlin would say, okay, now the clerk's going to prepare the machine, now we're all going to get ready to vote, ready, set, vote. And as you watch that vote tally, it'll go 34, 32-2, 33-1, 34-0. They're voting and seeing how the tally is, and then going, if everybody votes yes, they're switching their vote to yes so they don't have to. You know what I mean?
Well, a classic example of that was the Lacey Peterson bill. I forget who it was, but someone in the West Virginia Senate said that thing never would have made it if they could have just voted their consciences.
I think on them vote machines, once you know what you want to do, you want yes or you want no. Once you push your button one time, that's you voted. I don't think you should be able to see the tally and switch your vote. So you can say that if during the election time somebody says, well, you know, look how they're getting out of being answerable for votes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can say, well, everybody else voted like that.
Yeah, they're taking political cover.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're coming around to my way of thinking, Jeff, because I mentioned this to you a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about the heroic stand made by the Senate Republicans, and I said, you know, look, they knew what that tally was before the first vote was taken.
I don't know about that.
And you said, no, they were voting their consciences. They weren't doing that political grandstanding or anything.
I don't know about that.
Well, you just described the very process, Jeff.
Senator Weeks and Dick Sprouse wrote that amendment. You don't write amendments that you don't want passed.
Well, sure you do if you know that they're not going to pass, but it looks like it's something that you can come home and pander to the mouth breathers on.
Why did it not pass?
Why did it not pass? Because it didn't have a prayer.
Why? Why did it not pass?
Because it couldn't get a majority of the votes, Jeff, and they knew it.
And who?
But they knew that they could grandstand it and engage in a little bit of political ballyhoo.
Bob, the Democrats.
And yes, you do. And yes, sometimes you do write amendments that you know don't have a prayer of passing. My God, it happens all the time.
When you're in the minority party, it's easy to write an amendment that won't pass.
Right. And that's what they did.
That doesn't necessarily make it a bad amendment, does it?
It makes it a bad amendment to the effect that it was cynically offered with full knowledge that it had no hope of passing.
Well, if
but I tend to side with you on this. I mean, you know, vote once and get it over with. Don't sit there and hide in the political bushes. Huh?
You don't want the food tax taken off. You're standing up for the Democrats in the West Virginia Senate that voted that down.
No, I'm sitting here, Jeff, telling you that if those guys in the West Virginia Senate, those Republicans, actually wanted to get rid of the food tax,
they couldn't do a thing about it.
They wouldn't have simply crafted a little bug spray bill, bug spray amendment, when they had a real chance to stand up and say, hey, let some of these deadbeats pay their fair share and then take it off.
Bob, they can't get anything through without Democratic support. They can't get anything through.
I know, but you'll notice when they had an opportunity to say, no, let's dedicate. I mean, did you catch that during the special session, Jeff? Was it there? Did I just miss it when all the Senate Republicans stood up and said, well, you know, while we're increasing the severance tax on coal, let's increase it enough that we can take the food tax off?
Because
they don't care about you and they don't care about me. They care about their buddies in coal.
It was Russ Weeks that tried to get an amendment that the severance tax wouldn't be applied on coal that was used in West Virginia, and it was declared unconstitutional.
Right.
No Democrats tried that.
Because they knew it would be unconstitutional.
Also,
I mean,
they know, and he doesn't.
Right, because he's, I mean, if you walk the hallowed halls of the Senate and just ask around, you will find out that Russ Weeks is the single most ignorant member of that body.
What do you have to do, be down there 10 terms before you know what you're doing?
No, sometimes...
How long does it take?
No, sometimes it helps to be born with a brain, Jeff.
Well, so you're saying that he's dumb?
Yeah, that's why we call him Senator Weeks-minded.
I can believe that. But, you know, all I know, I know what I've seen, I watched it. It's the, in the House of Delegates, it's the Mike and Bob show, or the Rick and Bob show.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, that's why they occupy those positions. A whip is for purposes of whipping the members into line. That's why they're called a whip.
It's the Truman and Earl show in the Senate.
Yeah.
You know, they run everything. It was just till 2000 that...
Well, no. Back up. It was not the Truman and Earl show in the Senate, because Truman Chafin did everything in his power to stop this obnoxious third-party bad faith bill.
But that was already passed.
I know, but the thing is, it's what I'm trying to tell you is what Truman Chafin wants is not always what Truman Chafin gets, and for a position, you know. So it doesn't quite apply as equally there.
That's just one issue, but they work together on 80%. of the vote.
Yeah, there is an element of go along, get along. There's no doubt about it.
They, because, you know, was just till 2000 or 2002 that Republicans even had enough to have a say over anything at all.
And boy, I tell you what, they sure did come out and make the most of it, didn't they?
Well, they're still
go along, get along on anything that helps the coal industry. Go along, get along on anything that helps these weirdo right wing pro. What? They're not pro life. They're pro birth. These people that have a stranglehold on West Virginia's legislature. Yeah, but when it came to standing up for us,
you're not trying to blame what has been going on down in the Senate and the delegates for years and years and years on a party that had less than 20% of each body, are you?
Oh, no, because for years and years, this was a one-party state. See, the way it works in a one-party state, Jeff, is that instead of having separate parties, you have factions, okay? And what we've still got in this state, and you know, I'm a Democrat, and I stand to lose a lot more than you do in saying this. We've got a lot of Democrats in name only. We've got Democrats who know that they could not get elected as Republicans, and therefore are Democrats.
That's not a good thing either. That people are so one track minded that they vote for a letter and not a person.
Well, no, the reason that one party system happened is in large part because of the Depression. We gave the people of this state gave Republicans a chance once upon a time, and it damn near killed them and starved them to death.
How do people, know that 60, 70, 80 years later?
Well, because there's this thing called history, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. There's people everywhere walking around in West Virginia right now talking about how bad the Republicans ruined this state in 1910.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
There are, because you know what? I'm 42 years old, Jeff. I'm 42 years old, and I had old uncles and a grandfather who told me about when Ephraim Morgan sent out the armed National Guard and the brand spanking new West Virginia State Police to mow down the miners at Blair Mountain.
Nothing.
You're damned right people sit around talking about the history of this state, and they don't forget it, and they don't forgive it. It
has nothing to do with today's Republican or Democratic Party.
Does it not?
Nothing.
Does it not?
It has
you sure?
To do with
oh, history. Okay. So today's Republican Party is all pro-labor now, right?
If that's what you say.
Wrong. Thanks for playing, but no. I mean, they haven't changed. They're anti-worker. They're anti-middle class. The Republicans sure didn't have any problems coming out and voting in favor of the insurance companies, did they?
Is your governor that put the bill forward and demanded it?
I know it is.
Well, then don't blame it on the minority party.
Well, I've hammered on him too, but you're trying to canonize the Republicans. When there's nothing there to canonize,
you
Jeff.
Know, there's
I mean,
about
you got,
11 or
I mean,
30.
You got Slick Vic Sprouse who runs on the Family Values Party and can't seem to stay out of divorce court. I mean, you know, what can you say about a guy who walks out on a woman that he's got 4 months pregnant by him? What can you say about a dirtbag like that?
I don't know. I'm just going by votes. I'm not interested in people's personal lives.
Ah, if it's a Republican, you're not interested in their personal
lives.
You've
never heard me
gotcha.
Attack Democrats' personal lives, have you?
Now?
Study about it a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear me talk about Clinton and Lewinsky all the time.
You just did. Hey, Jeff, we got to hit our break. Later. All right. We'll come back and, let's see. Phone number, 252-6200. I keep getting tell the phone number more often. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, where'd you get the flip phone?
At Cellular One, for my birthday, finally.
Cool, what else I got?
Well, it's a camera phone, so I can take pictures and send them to people. See, here you are. And I can program it for your picture to come up when you call and give you your own ringtone.
Oh, I feel so special.
Listen. Check it out. There's text messaging, too. But you know what I like best? I can hook up to the web and check out all the scores.
Geez, I didn't know that was important.
Well, sure it is.
Right now, get 2 free months of unlimited picture messaging with new Cellular One service, plus $10 off any camera phone in stock. And with Cellular One, you can use your cool new phone in more places than with any other carrier in the region. But of course, you already knew that. And just whose ring would that be?
Nobody.
Cellular One, we're here for you.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
There are other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This will all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This will all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime, and your family serves a sentence with you. Gun crimes hit home.
A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods for the Southern District of West Virginia and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, head on.
You know, they say that West Virginia has one of the oldest populations in the country. What, us in Florida, I think? And not every... Maybe that's one of our problems. We've got an older population and the younger one doesn't want to listen. But not everybody was born yesterday. And as I like to tell people, I was born at night, not last night. And Ms. Kincaid didn't raise no dummy. So yeah, you know, I don't know if it's this way for the rest of you, but when you look back, and you know, 42, but I don't feel like that's one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel somehow. And I'll warrant that there are some people listening to this show who would tell me that I am darned well a young man yet. But when I think back to my memories of the past, and when I was a little boy, and I would sit on porches, Fayette County, listening to the old people, I love storytelling. And I love to hear what those old folks had to say. And I was listening to people, you know, I've talked about that, I'm lucky. I had older parents. My grandparents were born in the 1890s. I literally have a connection two centuries back, and that blows my mind. So I did sit around and listen when they told the stories. And I do know the story of my grandfather. He was an up-and-comer through the boom of the mid-20s, had himself a store, had a post office, had a lumber mill, and things were going good. We still got some of the books on that store, the account ledgers. You can see who bought what and for how much. Coffee, sugar, bolt of cloth, new pair of boots, new shoes, writing tablets, pencils, you know, the minutiae of day-to-day living that makes you realize that people a century back weren't all that different from you, and you don't have such a leg up on them because you get to sit down and watch Survivor. And I say you, I mean we. But I listened when I heard stories of how when the crash came, that crash that was born of Republican greed, I sat and listened.
And I know the story of how of my grandfather literally keeping an entire section of country alive, extending food on credit until he could do it no more, and it destroyed him. I remember that, and I remember why it happened. And stories of the people who went to Blair Mountain and were willing to stand up and fall down dying just for the right to be considered human by the people who toyed with the idea of paying them for their labors. So I guess it was luck, or kismet, call it cabbage, I don't care. Back on the 31st, when we were down for the Mountain Justice Summer Rally at the Capitol, I took the boy in and we walked through those hallowed corridors, heading down to the cafeteria to get a bottle of water. But we walked down that hall with all those great big, almost life-size oil portraits of everyone who has ever been called governor of this state. You know, call it the East Wing Wander. And came out in front of some rather forlorn-looking bears. Ken Heckler's bears, now proudly ensconced in the space there in front of the Attorney General's office. But then, like I said, we moved into the Hall of Governors. We took a few steps, and the boy looked to his left. You know, he does everything to his left. He's my son. And he pointed to one of those paintings, one of those very, very large paintings. You know, and those things are fit to grab the attention of a young boy. And he said, "Who's he, Daddy?" And since I'd been there before, I sort of whipped around to see which early 20th century dirtbag in oil he was pointing at. Damn. You know, they say a young hound gets its nose from its sire. My boy was pointing straight at Ephraim Morgan. I wish I knew where that man's grave is. I'd go and spit on it. The one and only governor of any state in this union ever to invite the Air Force to bomb, damn it, bomb his own constituents. I was kind of stunned by the, like I said, kismet, serendipity of it all. And, you know, right out of my mouth, without my longtime companion restraint, came the words. "Son," I said to him, "he wanted your great-granddaddies dead. And he wanted your great-great-granddaddy dead." Think about that. That damnable, rotten-in-hell, good-for-nothing Republican hanging on the wall there wanted to make sure you, little man, never happened. Because if he'd have gotten your great-great-granddaddy and your great-granddaddy, there never would have been your grandfather, there never would have been me, and there wouldn't have been you. But boy, you thank God. When you say your prayers tonight, you thank God that there were people around back then who were willing to fight back against Republican scum like Ephraim Morgan. Because since there were people willing to fight it back against that kind of Republican scum, we're talking about it right now. And he just looked up at me and he said, "Republicans." He said, "Daddy, are they all that hateful?" And I said, "This latest crop isn't any better than Ephraim Morgan, boy." And there, it was Nurses Day there, too, and there were a couple of nurses walking by. And they looked down at him and they said, "Take what your daddy says to heart. He's telling you the truth." And they gave him a hug and I about cried. So I guess we're not all born yesterday. And some of us still remember. And some of us paid attention to those old people on the porch. I'm Bob Kincaid.
head on.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Your cell phone bill could be going up soon. That's if Governor Manchin signs a bill approved by lawmakers Saturday night that would more than double 911 fees on cell phones and distribute more of the collected fees to smaller counties. The bill, the monthly 911 service improvement charge, from $1.48 to $3, and also increases the share collected by all but four counties. Under the new provision, the only counties receiving lower projected 911 fees would be Berkeley, Cabell, Kanawha, and Mercer. While the methamphetamine epidemic has often been associated with drug labs hidden away in the countryside, today's users frequently defy that image, whether they're urban professionals or suburban homemakers. Minnesota has been dealing with all of the above and is home to another scary trend. In Minnesota, many young people and experts who monitor drug use agree meth is steadily replacing marijuana as the teenage drug of choice. Officials in McDowell and Wyoming counties are awaiting word on the status of a proposed federal prison in Welch. Final decision on the location is expected within a month to 6 weeks. Contractors have made two changes to Phase 1 of the Indian Ridge Industrial Park in Welch to accommodate the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Work on Phase 2 of the industrial park site is now about 60% complete. The third phase of the park is proposed for housing. Construction on the federal prison will create up to 400 temporary construction jobs for more than 2 years. And there will be some extra charm tonight in Charm City. The Miss USA pageant will be televised live from Baltimore's Hippodrome Theater. The 51 women competing for the crown have spent 2 weeks in Maryland, competing in preliminary rounds and also doing some sightseeing. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. Mild the rest of this evening, mid-70s. Tonight becoming partly cloudy, increasing cloudiness later tonight, and very mild tonight with a low 55. There's also a chance of some light showers moving in late tonight. And then for Tuesday and Wednesday, partly cloudy with showers and cooler, high both days only in the mid-50s, and lows at night in the low 40s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Paying too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles to the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota. Visit www.toyota.com for details. Sale ends 4/31.
You know us. We're your neighborhood leader drugstore. Independently owned by people who care, we're able to give you fast, friendly service, and we're proud of our prices. Generic, leader brand, or national, leader prices are hard to beat.
You really can save. Leader TruTrack blood glucose monitoring system, only $19.99, and 50-count test strips, only $23.99. This month only at participating stores. Compare and save, and you'll see why Leader is the place to go.
Leader, it's your neighborhood, it's your drugstore.
And now, today's health report. Cutting calories. If you're always looking for new ways to cut calories, dining out can pose a real challenge. Joy Bauer, registered dietitian and author of Cooking with Joy, offers these tips that can help save 100 calories each. If you're in the mood for seafood, skip the salmon and order grilled shrimp or yellowfin tuna. Or if you prefer a Caesar salad, be sure to order it without croutons. If your meal comes with a baked potato, substitute 2 tablespoons of salsa for 1 tablespoon of butter or margarine. Pizza lovers who just can't resist may want to ask for half the cheese and double the broccoli. And choose low-fat cheese over the whole milk kind. If you've got a sweet tooth and want to stop for ice cream, choose a frozen fruit bar instead. This has been today's health report to help you stay healthier longer, brought to you by Leader Drugstores. Find the location of the Leader Drugstore nearest you at myleader.com. Leader Drugstores. It's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. This is not to say by argument of the converse that all Democrats are good. We've got a handful of good ones in the West Virginia legislature, and there's a handful of good ones in the House of Representatives and Congress. Handful of good ones in the Senate. And then there's another handful that need a little starch in their spines. And then there are the Joe Liebermans of the world, who are Dino, Democrat in name only. So all is not perfect in the House of the Democratic Party. On the other hand, however, and I think the evidence bears me out, especially where the West Virginia legislature is concerned, there is not a single member of the Republican Party that I would trust with a handful of crap at a pie-eating contest. And I mean that sincerely and from the bottom of my heart, because they don't have anything in common with real human beings. And they don't have any ideas. And they don't have any... No thinking. I don't know what goes on in the area between their ears, but it ain't thinking. So just so we're square on that, Ed has waited patiently, and I appreciate it. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, I'm all right. You?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
Listen to the conversation. About the time I think Jeff is doing all right, he comes back to this, like you call him, Rush Week in the Head, and he goes back to Steve O'Brien and gets his titty bottle and gets all screwed up. He's got some good facts now and then, and I think he's right on this Walmart. But he needs to go ahead and figure out what he knows to be true without going back to get verification from these other idiots. And typically, I'm talking about Russ Weeks, who took up the smoking bill down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, he got one vote. That was his. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't ask for a recount.
That's beautiful.
He is a complete stinking idiot and would lie. You know, I listened to a conversation this morning on there, and I think Mayo made he didn't make an idiot out of him. He just made a bigger point of it. But Jeff is so, you know, he seems to be getting his facts pretty good on updated stuff, but he has no idea what my dad and my uncles went through. Now, I know what I'm talking about. My dad and their uncles and my uncles went out and what they call had dead work. If there was a slate fall, until they loaded coal, regardless how much time it took to get rid of that slate fall, they worked that for nothing.
Yeah.
And it may be 10 or 12 hours that they did that and home. And I've heard my mother ask him, what did you do? How come you worked so long? Well, we had to move that slate so we could get ready to load coal tomorrow. Didn't get paid nothing for it.
No.
So Jeff is really out of touch with the history. He ought to read some of what the coal miners, he ought to read about this place down here at Alloy, you know, where they did that drilling in those tunnels and killed all those people to make that electrohydro plant and
yeah.
so forth. He's just out of touch. And you know, you're talking about Republicans and Democrats, and I do agree with you. We've got some Democrats that would suck a horse's rear end for a morning glory, and they call themselves Democrats, but the only reason they're Democrats is because they can't get elected no other way. And some of them are right, about three of them are right here in this county. The only person we got really represents us anymore is Tom Luis, is about halfway. And then Randy White, the senator,
I like
Nicholas County.
I like Randy real well, and I've got considerable regard for Tom Luises.
Yeah, but the other ones, they're sure expanding that Republican coat they're wearing. And I know what I'm talking about. I've got some stuff coming on, Dan. I'm just waiting on some more stuff that I've asked for. But Jeff mentioned Manchin and called him our boy.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, when I found out that the Chamber of Commerce backed him, he's not my boy. He's got the name of a Democrat, but I kind of figure about the only Democrat he ever voted for was himself. And so, Jeff, don't you get mixed up and say he's our boy. He is not a Democrat, only by name. And you mark this down, and you can mark the date down. I told you, as time goes on, you're going to find out that he goes against the worker more and more. And that's what this insurance bill is all about, and the other stuff that goes on down there. I'm going to elaborate more on the workman's comp that some of our boys got in and sucked around in. They were big buddies with Arch Moore years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be getting into some of that, Bob, one of these evenings, and maybe it'll help Jeff a little bit. Jeff, I sincerely mean it. You need to make up your mind and not be a sucker for Russ Weeks, because he's using you. They are using you for the knowledge that you do have on some facts. And I wouldn't do that. Stick to what you know to be true and don't let them change your mind.
Well, it kind of boils down to stick to your guns, doesn't it, Ed?
That's exactly right. And he seems to get a lot of his facts and stuff pretty straight. But then, like I said, he goes huggy-huggy with Stevie Boy, and that blows it out the window.
Well, I tell you, Ed, I mean, right. I mean, and what you say is, you heard it from the same generation I heard it from.
Uh-huh.
I mean, people know what Republicanism did to not just to this neck of the woods, not just to this state, did to this country.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, Bob. Anything that's good that happened to the worker come from the Democrats. Jeff, you can get that straight. I'm talking about the Social Security on down, and the Republican Party, there wasn't just a couple of them that held neutral. But every one of the other ones is typically reacts like George Bush. He's a takeaway man from the worker.
They opposed the idea of Social Security, Ed. We've been over this before. Not a single solitary member of Congress who was a Republican voted in favor of Social Security when it was passed.
And why they hate that so bad, unless they want us to have to crawl to work till we're 85, I don't know.
Because they hate the idea that there's money out there that they can't get their greasy little mitts on.
Well, they're in. That's what it's all about now. They want the Wall Street boys to be able to get the money that they're talking about, privatization and investment. They want Wall Street to have that. That's the George Bush crew.
Well, they took pensions and pumped it into Wall Street. That's just how it works. And they want to take Social Security and pump it into Wall Street. And you know what? There are times Wall Street doesn't need to have it all, do they, Ed?
Nope.
But you would think to hear them that Wall Street was going to collapse tomorrow if they didn't get hold of the Social Security money.
I know how I feel about Wall Street. They would be right there at the mint grabbing the money and putting it to trailer truck if they could get to it that way. It don't make no difference. They may have no ethics or pride in what they do. That greenback is what counts to them.
Well, as far back as when George Bush bailed out of the Texas Air National Guard to go get him an MBA at Harvard, we had that story Friday night. He was sitting there arguing with his professor, telling him that unemployment compensation was communist, and that the Securities and Exchange Commission was communist, and that Social Security was communist.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what we said a while ago. Jeff asked the question about how many terms you had to be down there to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush could serve 22 terms. That wouldn't help him any. And that's the same way with Russ Weeks and guys like that. That, you know, time does not cure ignorance unless you're willing to really learn from it. So it has nothing to do with how many terms you serve. We've got them that's been down there, and that they will never improve. And I'm talking about Democrats.
I know.
And you're exactly right. We got them in our party that is the bottom of the barrel people. Dirty, rotten, crooks, liars. And anything You know, and like I said, I'm waiting on some information on one of the senators from this county, and I'm gonna unload on his rear end. He needs it, even though he's at the age probably won't run again. People really need to know what he is, and I for one,
well,
have
do you believe
for
that
a long time when I was political. Arm for the UAW in the state.
Well, Ed, honest to goodness, do you believe the nasty little juvenile hissy fit that was thrown over naming a piece of road after Hank Williams?
Yeah, and you know, go get a hunting dog back. You know, how many times does someone will keep your hunting dog or shoot it because it goes on their property? That's but now he has made it to where back in that bill. Or you're even allowed, see, that gives you the right to trespass and go get your hunting dog. Or if you call the guy or went up, drove up to his house or something and asked him for the dog, you'd probably get it. But now you've got the right just to overbearingly take off on his land and get it. They ain't nothing you've got sacred anymore.
And again, I'll apply this one across the board. We pay these legislators, Ed, for some, what I consider to be common sense and cool, dispassionate reasoning, and it seems like we get anything but.
Well, anytime you're self-motivated and that's the only thing you got going for you, then you knock down a whole lot of good stuff getting to the things you're after.
You're absolutely
and,
right.
And we've got to seem to have a monopoly. But I was going to tell you, I can get your program now up to about 10 minutes to 8, but when Wayne got on there this evening, that's when it cut out. But,
well, that's, you know, and it'll get better as the days go on because the days will get longer.
I'm waiting on it.
All right. Hey, Ed, thanks so much. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. And Mel. Hey, Mel, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing this evening?
I'm all right, I reckon.
I heard my name mentioned, so I thought I better call in, too.
Trust me, it wasn't taken in vain.
No. I agree with the previous call there, Ed. Yeah, I think Jeff is really, and I'm not going to attack anybody, but Jeff is, he is an asset because he does, draw facts and all, but, you know, if he just take those blinders off and realize that all these people is taking you for a sucker, and not let one party, you know, he's telling you that we're voting for him because we're a Democrat. No, we're voting for him. I know why I'm a Democrat.
Right.
You all are talking about the past. Let's talk about the present. You know, they're showing themselves again exactly like they did back then. They gave temporary tax breaks to the rich. Now they want to make them permanent. They're letting the corporations run the FDA and the FCC. They're doing their best to destroy Social Security. They're cutting veterans' benefits, Medicaid, children's school benefits.
I can't support that. Can you?
Well, that's what I'm telling you. You know, we don't have to talk about the past, Jeff. Let's talk about now. And Jeff knows this is the truth. You know, he knows the difference in me and him. Is if I smell it and it stinks, I'm going to tell you what it is, and I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican.
Right. Well, I mean, have we not sat here hammering on this third-party bad faith bill?
Well, you know what? I'm writing a letter to the paper right now, and I'm giving credit where it's deserved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sally Sussman is the only one in the House. You know, Russ Weeks told me this morning that the reason he didn't amend that to make any fund in there so a person that got injured could be made whole was because there were so many amendments on the table. And I thought, yeah, like Ed said there, and I told Weeks, if he hadn't been arguing about smoking in a bed and breakfast, he might have paid attention to set a fund up to make the people whole that got injured. But, you know, that wasn't important enough. But he voted for it. But here I go. You know, Bailey voted for it. You know, I'm going to expose them every time I can. And like I said, then it went to the House, and they amended it. And tried to say, listen, let's exhaust all the appeals, have to go through the insurance commissioner and do everything, but then let's keep the right to go to court if we absolutely have to.
Right.
Sally Sussman is the only one that voted for that. Only one in the House that voted for that. It failed. Then every one of them voted for the thing, and it was amended, you know, to set this fund up that you can
right.
get any economical loss plus $10,000 for pain and suffering. And they all voted for that, but at least they were competent enough in the House to, you know, to make a fund. And but like I said, you know, Ron Thompson, Mahan didn't even have enough respect to return a bunch of calls. People tried to contact her. Yeah, I don't care what they are, Democrats or Republicans, when they fail to represent the people, Jeff, when they fail to represent the people, or when you catch them stealing, you know, like the meeting they had up there on their GOP leader, you know, if it stinks, say it stinks.
Right.
Somebody that will abuse an animal will abuse a person. Somebody that will abuse a pregnant wife will abuse you, Jeff. You know, I'm not going to attack them personally either, but I've heard Jeff talk about Robert Byrd belonging to the Klan.
Yeah.
You know, so like I said, if it's there, if it stinks, it smells rotten, it usually is, and don't cover it up. Take your blinders off and tell it like it is.
Well, you know, so you did dig around on the House vote, and Sally Sussman is the only one that voted the right way.
Yes, that's it. She voted, tried to help us to get the, to leave where you could have a cause of action if it was absolutely, I mean, it was going to be hard to do, but at least it was still going to be there.
Well, God bless her for making the attempt, Mel. I mean, we hammer on people, but for God's sakes, let's praise the ones that do the right thing.
Well, I am. And like I said, I talked to her. She was good enough to send me a letter back, and she told me it was probably going to pass, but they was going to do their best to weaken it from the Senate. And she did what she said, and like you said, if they try to, you know, I mean, I understand if you look at it and you realize what they're in down there, you know, this governor is doing that, you know, that slogan thing like the Republicans and Rove and Frisk and DeLay and a bunch of them started this slogan thing like the moral majority and all that. You know, mm-hmm. we're open for business here.
But and, the courthouse is closed.
Right. Well, you know what? Who wants to go against being open for business?
Right.
You know? So there's pressure on them guys, but you know what? I hope there's more pressure come election time. And I'm not campaigning. Like
I understand.
I said, I'm not even sure I'm running.
Yep.
But my Lord, stop and look at it. Look what they done for us, you know?
Yeah,
they put
or
a
did
severance
to us.
Tax, they put a severance tax on timber, and then Shirley Love and Bailey, amongst other Senate Bill 746, as of the 31st day of December 2005, we're going to drop that 3.2% down to 1.2%. We put it on, you know, to get bonds to work this workers' comp out, and they say they're going to put severance tax on to pay for it, and then turn right around and take it off. I mean, what suckers we are. I mean, you know, like I said, if it stinks, say it stinks, and I don't care for Democrats, Republicans, but I do agree with you all, and I didn't finish my list. But look what's going on. Look what happened to the minimum wage. You know, what happened is, who killed it, Jeff? The Democrats or the Republicans? Who did this bankruptcy thing? Who changed this overtime thing? Who made it where you can increase credit card debt? If you don't pay one of your utility bills, they can jack your credit card interest up out of sight. You know, who took the right to file a class action suit in the state away? My Lord, we don't have to look back in years ago.
No, that's kind of fresh in my memory. Hey, Mel, let me ask you a question. When you were going over the House vote, did you happen to know what... notice what Pino and Perry and Luisos did on the third party?
No, but I'm pretty sure that Sussman, I had it written down here, believe it or not, and I got so frustrated today I got rid of, I still got the senators here, but I don't, Luisos, like I told you, all of them voted for it in the end. Because
yeah.
they, you know, who wants to stand in the way for being open to business?
Right. Scared to death.
But the best I can remember, I believe Louisa's did vote with Sussman to amend it to keep our right to calls of action. I believe Louisa's did.
Yeah, he tends to come down on the right side of things.
Yeah, I believe he did. And like Ed said, I know we talked to White, some of us, and he did stand strong. He was with Bowman, Chafin, Dempsey, Hunter, Kessler, and White.
Yep.
They all voted against it in the Senate to start off with. But I tell you what, West Virginia, you know, when you stand out there on the West Virginia soil, the day that the governor signs that and takes your right to go to court when an insurance company won't deal with you in good faith, this is a whole different country now.
Well, I think I'm going to take my West Virginia, and I mean no desecration by this, but I'm going to take my West Virginia flag, and I'm going to rub out that, or mark out, that Montani, Semper, Liberi.
West Virginia, it's always free.
Yeah, and I'm going to write under it. I'm going to figure out what it is in Latin, and I'm going to write under it open for business.
Well,
I'm just disgusted.
Yeah, I agree with Weeks. There probably will be a lot more insurance companies coming in here now because they absolutely don't have any liability.
Yeah, they can come in here and fleece us, and we can't do a blessed thing about it, Mel.
I agree. You know, I agree with you. They've sold us out, and I'm sick and tired of it. And I'm gonna do everything I can. I heard the guy that was making the signs, and I don't care if you see one over here, you pretty well know who put it up. You know, because
yep.
I'm gonna if the Lord left me here for any reason, I'm gonna shame some of these people. And like I said, yeah, I don't know if you know it or not, but the five, yeah, I'm gonna give credit where credit's due, but the five that ran for the House here in the 27th District spent almost $250,000 to get back to Charleston this time.
For a $15,000 job.
Yeah, and it's time, like I told Kiss, it's time this political prostitution stops. We're still owned, just like you and Ed was talking about. If Jeff would go back and watch some of the history, you know, I think he said one time his dad never gave him nothing. I wish his dad would have gave him a videotape or woke him up in the middle of the night and made him watch some of the coal miners that shed their blood and how they shed and gave up for where we're at right now in this state.
That's why we're here, though, Mel. We know, and we can keep talking. We got to roll, though.
Okay, I appreciate it, Bob.
Thank you, Mel.
There.
All right, will do. Take care. All right, then. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, same time as usual. We'll be back. We'll have more fun. The show tonight, of course, was produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Resner, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. Go on by, have a look around. Learn a little bit, and, not just my show. Listen to some of the other fine liberal radio out there, too. It makes a hell of a lot more sense than anything Flush Flimball ever said. Oxymoron. All right. Hey, Agnes.